David Butler, Real 13. Now, we're talking about when you moved on to this, on the Londoner, into the Pacific, and started this this cruise. It's another show in the Flag Cruise. Now, what do you recall of that? I mean,
anything happened there?
Yeah, we got through the canal and we called at a little place called Salina Cruz to fuel up the west coast. It was the sort of place, when you went in, it was like putting that fireplace in that grate. It was about 2 foot each side to get the ship through the entrance to the docks so that we could fuel. And then we just spent, I think we spent half a day there to come out again. And our first port of call from there was... Acapulco, and I didn't manage to get ashore in Acapulco because I was being a married man with three children, I had to worry about the money, and I thought, being we was anchored out, I've got no temptation to walk down the jetty or walk down the gangway to the jetty. So I never went ashore in Acapulco because of, you know, finance again, I suppose. And then we spent 3 days in Acapulco, and then we went to San Diego to fuel, and that's all, an overnight stop. And once again, arrangements were made for us. We got there in the morning, and in the afternoon, the football team went ashore, and we had a terrific night on the one night that we went there. We played an American team, and I can't remember the score, whether we won or what we'd done, but... I managed to referee it, and then we went. They took us then to a pizza restaurant where we got watered and fed. And from there, they took us to a honky tonk bar, and it was something I'd never seen. I'd heard about them, but I'd never seen them. We got, and the people going into the bar were queuing down the block, using the American terminology. But we was taken in through the front door because we was all in our white uniforms and what have you. And it was ladies' night in there. Whether they knew that or not, I couldn't tell her. But we got in there and we had such a fantastic time. And it was Mickey Finn's Honky Tonk. And she was the woman who owned the place with her husband. Her husband played an open piano, no front on it or anything, just a keyboard, and you could see all the keys dancing around. And she sat on top of the piano singing. And then, and it was all tables, just sort of typical club, long tables with jugs of beer on, and only women could buy the beer. We were spoiled rotten by a lot of the college university girls that was in there. There was one big long bar, and two or three of us lost their caps. They was sort of went missing. But when the music stopped, you then had silent movies on the screens or televisions above the bar. And it was such a fantastic night that, you know, I shall remember it for the rest of my life. And then we went back on board from there, and we sailed next day, and we was going up the west coast, and our first port of call was Esquimalt in the island of Vancouver Island in British Columbia. And we got... We was in there while the Admiral said farewell to his Navy people, because that was the Pacific Coast Naval place for the Canadian Navy. And we played water polo. I captained the water polo team there, and I met an old friend that I was in the Navy with. He was a PTI in the Royal Navy, and he was over there, and he came in, and I got introduced to him, and I said, I know you. And I said, what are you doing over here? He said, oh, I transferred over. He said, there was a vacancy come for a PT instructor, and he changed over. And he was a lieutenant in the Canadian Navy then, and captain of the water polo team, by the way. And we got beat about 8-3, I think it was, something daft like that. But we had a good time there, and there was that many people that wanted to take us to their homes and what have you, that... The people, even the duty watch that you have on board every night, were sent ashore by the officer of the watch, and the men under punishment, which a ship always has, were told that they would be the duty watch. And there were still people on the jetty waiting for to take somebody home. I went home with another chap, Ron Waitman, and we went to with a Nottingham family. We'd been round the brewery, and they actually picked us up in the street. They stopped, and we wanted somewhere, and we stopped, happened to stop and ask them. And they said, oh, come on, we'll take you. And I can't remember whether it was shopping or where we was going. But anyway, they took us to where we was going, and it was shopping. And we had a look around the shops, and then they said, come on home with us. And Dad emigrated to Canada because their son wanted to join the best well-paid Navy in the world. And they'd done the arithmetic in England, and it had turned out that it was the Canadian Navy that there was best well-paid Navy in the world. So they emigrated, and they went to the West Coast. And lo and behold, the son decided at the end of the day that he would join the Canadian Army, which didn't please him, but it was his life, so they accepted it. And they looked after us, stop me. And they really looked after us, and they also organised that me and Ron, the chap I was with, we went up to Victoria itself, the capital, and watched the Johnny Cash concert. And that was brilliant, that was. And then we was there, I can't remember how long we was there, actually. Nearly a week, anyway. And then we left there and went across to Vancouver, where we had another week. Don't give the dates here, unfortunately.
It's all right.
I think we had another week.
It's more the feel of what it was like.
So it was, once again, it was then the Admiral paying his respects to the Canadian district government and of Columbia and one thing or another. Excuse me. And that was another busy place where there was plenty of people to take us home and whatever. And we'd done some exercises with the Canadian ship, as one does when you're meeting these different navies. They like to see if they can better you in the exercises, and along with the submarines and one thing or another. But we done all right. We come out on top, and then when we left Vancouver. Quite a few people were taking me to Vancouver, actually, and I think I only went ashore twice there in the week. But it was a really nice modern city, and it's something that was really enjoyable. And then we left there and we went down to Monterey, and they tied us up at this jetty, and the only thing you could hear in the stoker's mess was the seals that are situated in Monterey. They are horrendous, but they live there, and that is their home. Once again, it was the first port of call that we had after leaving Canada, and once again, it was football that got us into that started the visit. Admiral and the captain done their duties where they had to go and see the mayor and places, things like that, which they all have to do when we go to these foreign places. And then in the evening, the football team was late going ashore, obviously, because we had to come back from the barbecue. We'd been to a barbecue and whatever afterwards. And then I met a big fisherman. He was trying to pick a fight with one of my mates on the ship. And I just said, what's up, John? Have you got problems with this mate, with this bloke? And he said, yeah, yeah. I said, what's up, mate? You know, ain't he big enough for you? Or what's he done to you? He said, he's done nothing. I said, well, what are you getting on to? He said, well, I don't like you Canadians. And I said, well, we're not Canadians. We're from England. England, he said, what are you doing over this part of the world? We got John out the toilet, because that's where the fight was about to happen. And I sat talking to this bloke. I took him into the bar and bought him a bottle of beer. And we sat talking, and Marty Vucci, his name was. That's it, Marty Vucci. And he turned out to be a nice bloke. It just that he didn't like Canadians and he didn't know the difference. And that comes in a little story later on, that he didn't like another person down the West Coast that didn't like Canadians. But we stayed in there, and we went to a rodeo at Carmel, and a big barbecue. There was a big rodeo going on there, so the mayor and the people of of Monterey organised a coach for us, and they took and we went to this rodeo and had a smashing time, barbecue and all sorts, and met real life Red Indians, as one does when you go to these American places and you're visitors. And then the last night ashore was a bit traumatic because one of our blokes, Ginger Powers, another mate of mine, well, we was all mates on the ship, but he was special. There was about five or six of us, so it was always mates, big mates. He had had a little bit too much to drink, so we'd gone into this burger bar and got him some coffee to get down, and we was opposite a taxi firm. And Marty Vucci was with us, this civilian. He was a trawlerman, by the way. Who had been out fishing on trawlers. He collected sardines and that, and that's what the argument was about as well. Sardines, fishermen, not being protected by the Canadians. I'll keep digressing. And then we got outside this burger bar after giving Ginger some coffee and something to eat, and we were standing there, and I said, I'm going to cross the road to get a taxi back to the ship. And then all of a sudden this chap walked up with his Stetson on and everything, and this woman, and he came across and he said, get this man off the road. I said, he's not on the road, we're on the pavement. And he said, I'm telling you, he said, I am a deputy marshal. He said, get this man off the road, he said, and get him inside, otherwise I shall be arresting him. I said, what are you going to arrest him for? I said, we're just going to cross the road to get a taxi to take us back to the ship. So there's no problems there. And just then a black and white police car went by. And he said, I shall tell these black and whites, he said, in a minute when they come round again, because they will come round again, then they've seen me talking to you. He said, I shall tell them to go round the block, and if you're still here when they come back, they will arrest you. And he pulled his jacket back, and he'd actually got his gun on him, and he'd been to the theatre. I could not believe it, that he'd been to the theatre with his wife, and he also had his revolver, an holster on. And anyway, this Marty Vucci said, I'll go across the road. He said, take him back into the cafe. And he said, I'll go across the road and order the taxi. And that's what we had to do. And I thought, how antisocial. But that's America in some respects when you look at it that way. Because I forgot earlier on, a similar thing happened in New York. From Monterey, we went down to San Diego for 4 days. Where the Admiral paid his respects to the Navy that was situated down there. And then that was a good visit again. Once again, we played football, and some of us went back to Mickey Flynn's, and we had a good time. Nice place to look at, very friendly, and no problems at all. But in the meantime... Oh, I've missed it. In the meantime, we called in at Los Angeles. I forgot Los Angeles was north of the first thing. And that was for a week. Another big naval base there. And we tied up at Long Beach. Right by the Queen Mary... The liner. Queen Mary. Right by the Queen Mary. And when you went out to the dockyard there... It was another thing that's good that I found with the Americans when you're in a naval base or somewhere like that. There's benches, especially there, for servicemen to sit on and wait. And somebody comes along and gives you a lift to wherever you're going, or at least in that general direction. So you don't have to pay any bus fares or things like that. And this happened all over America when we called at a naval base or something like that. And I thought that was rather nice. Once again, we played football, and we played football at Santa Rosa. We played at Santa Rosa, and I was on the line this match because the referee who done it was an American international referee, a FIFA official. Very nice man. Can't remember his name, but a very nice man indeed. I stopped with him that night, him and his wife. And I had a lovely evening with them, and then they took me back to the ship. But on the next night we went ashore, Marty Vucci had phoned up his wife and said, go and pick the lads up. They'd give her the names of us, and there was four of us, And he said, show them around Los Angeles, which she did. She came in, down to the ship in a car, and she came in the afternoon, and she has to see the captain, no less. Nobody else but the captain. And he arranged it anyway. We went ashore with her, and we all went round the... we had a good look round. She took us round Hollywood and what have you, and places like that of importance that would be to the tourist. And then we went and we took her for a meal then, the four of us, because it was early evening. And then she took us to a nightclub that was run by a friend of hers. And we was in there, in the nightclub, before her friend come in. And her friend came in and didn't see her sitting with us. All she could see was four white-suited sailors. And she said, when you lot have finished your drink, she said, please leave. And Ron Whiteman said, why? What are we doing? She said, I don't have Canadian sailors in my bar. And we said, we're not Canadians. And we had to explain again that we was from England and things like that. And I explained to her the difference between the English Navy and the Canadian Navy and any other Navy that was attached to England. I said, we have not got the country flash on our shoulders. When any more Canadians come into town or anything, I said, you look on their uniforms. I said, they'll have Canada. And if they're Australian, they'll have Australia written on the shoulders. I said, we British don't. I said, and if you look at our caps, we are HMS Londonderry. I said, if it was airship, they would have HMCS. C being for Canada. I said, it was a different ball game. We was given drinks all night on the house, and the cabaret was really good, and we were spoiled rotten by them. And then when it shut at 2 o'clock in the morning, we all piled into two cars and we went round to this lady's block of flats that she owned. She'd got a complex there with, I think it was, four lots of flats, about 15 stories high, with a swimming pool, a communal swimming pool in the middle. And she woke up the janitor and said, get all the lights on and we're going to have a barbecue. I mean, we're talking 2 o'clock in the morning, half past two in the morning. And she's organising a barbecue with drinks. But we dispensed with the barbecue. We said we didn't want one. We'd had enough. But we stopped there and had a few drinks until 6 o'clock in the morning when they took us back on board. But we never seen them again. We just went our own way after that. Don't ask me why. I've got no specific logic for it. Because, Matlow think, well, we've gone through a good thing here. But for some unknown reason, we never pushed it any further. But it was a good night. And then I went down Sunset Boulevard and seen the Hollywood Cinema, where the handprints are in the pavement and places like that. And then the tour was over, and we went back to Panama and come back through the canal. Now I can't remember we called it Jamaica, I think it was, on the way back. On the way to Bermuda. Yes, we called on the way to Bermuda. We called it Jamaica. And then just after that, we was in there for about 4 or 5 days. And then we started another cruise of the West Indies.
Another showing the flag tour.
Another showing the flag. Cheerio, thank you very much tour for the flag officer. It was then the part... can you switch off just a moment? And we went back to Muda. We was there about 4 or 5 days when we then started on a cruise of the West Indies. The islands, I can't recall them all in order, but...
Well, we've done one tour, so I mean, I presume it was pretty well the same.
No, because this time we visited the Dutch island, you see, Curaçao, down in the south, and we went to Martinique, which was the French island. And then we went to, then we got called to Granada, where there was an Italian liner on fire in the harbour. It had caught fire somehow. And we was asked to go there and see if we could put the fire out. And I don't know what we were supposed to do, whether we was to put it out and salvage it, or put it out and tow it to sea. But what happened is that we got there, and we fought it with our hoses, which was really, in all honesty, effortless, because it was you couldn't do nothing for it. It was that on fire that much. And so instead of taking it into the anchorages, they asked us if we would tow it out to sea, away from the harbour. And so, and it was called, the ship was called the Bianca C. And somewhere along the line, in this day and age now, there's a Canadian firm, a Canadian film company, have done a series about it. And I think we're involved with it. But we're trying to find out a bit more. But anyway, we had to tow it out to sea, and eventually we had to let it go where it sank, off Granada. And so it's done it some good, I suppose, because it's now created a modern day home for fish, and sea life and that. So you know, there's a little bit of good come of it. And it was, but it was a right mess. There was nothing we could do to put the fire out. And then we got called, then we got caught with Hurricane Hattie while we was on this little tour. And we, instead of going to Miami, I think we was going to Key West and places like that, or was it New Orleans? Irrespective, we was going to go either to New Orleans or, but Hurricane Hattie got in the way. And we had to go to, and it hit, it Belize. It hit the country, Belize, British Honduras. We had to go to Jamaica and store ship and take on a load of, we took on army personnel with their own personnel and a load of stores for the people of Belize. Belize and the other place that was got caught was Stan Creek, another one that was up the country a little while. Well, some of our lads went ashore to help with the putting the place back together as best they could and helping these survivors. And another little team went up to a power station, which was at Stan Creek. And they put the diesels and the generators back together as best they could, they got electricity back on anyway. That was the main thing, was to help people. By this time, emergency services from different nations had come down, and we was relieved of our duties. We went back to Bermuda, where we done a visit then to Hamilton, Bermuda, an official visit to Hamilton, Bermuda, because at a late and that was for 4 days, because then we was going to meet HMS Lion. And some other ships, two other ships, for a cruise of the South America, as a sales gimmick. There was four classes of ships there. There was the Lion, which was a cruiser. There was us, which was two other ships. There was a Lion. There was us, which was a Rosse class. There was a destroyer, but I don't know the name of the other two. But we were four different classes of ships, and we were selling to the Brazilian, Argentinian, Uruguayan, Chile, and Ecuadorian navies. It was a sales gimmick for us to show our ships to them different navies. And we left Bermuda, and our first port of call should have been Recife in Brazil. But that, for some unknown reason, that got cancelled, and we went down straight down then to Rio de Janeiro. And once again, we had a fantastic time there. I can't tell you much about the sails. All I can say is that different naval officers kept coming on board these ships and having a look round, and we just carried on with their normal duties because it was, and obviously government officials. But then, we played football again. Sometimes there was a cricket game going on with the other people on the ship and that. But we played football again. We had two matches there in the 5 days against the Brazilian Navy and the Brazilian Army. And one of the joys that I got was that we was going to play at the Maracanã Stadium, which is the biggest stadium in the world. And I sat and we was watching two Brazilian teams playing in the Division One. I can't remember the names.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah, and we was going to be on at 11 o'clock, ready for when the match of the day started at half past one in the morning. We was going to be a supporting one in between the two teams. I was very proud to be saying that I sat on the grass and walked the grass of the Maracanã Stadium. And I looked around it, and the people in this stadium, which holds 200,000, you were down on the pitch, and they looked like ants up in the stands. They really did. But then it rained. And as soon as it rained, in them days, as soon as it rained, football stopped. It doesn't now, but it did in them days. I think it's because they guarded the grass so much, the superior pitches and all that jazz, because of their type of football they played. And then we left there, and if I remember rightly, we left there and we... No, we didn't. We crossed the line before then. We had a crossing the line ceremony prior to arriving at Buenos Aires.